This is the time the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to worship, everyone. Pleasure having you here this morning. A few announcements tonight. First off, an annual meeting was held this past Sunday. The annual budget passed 42-2, and so that is now enacted. And so thank you for your partnership with that process. Also wanted to say that the annual report was also approved by the congregation. And so again, there were copies of that in the narthex. We are still in the midst of renovating, like reformatting the service a little bit. So thank you for those who gave me some feedback. So you're going to notice tonight we're going to have a little bit more singing than we did last week. And so you hopefully all have a copy of the bulletin. It's on one, ideally it's going to be one page, two sides. And so we're going to have the hymn numbers as part of it. I'll announce those. And then, and so because we're also recording for the podcast, I'll be preaching up here tonight from the microphone. For communion, we're going to do something slightly different. So that way Maryland has the freedom to play the piano during communion distribution. We're going to come up the center aisle like normal, and I'm going to be on the stage left. Josh is going to be on stage right, and then you'll see on the right-hand side over there, your left, the small credence table with the plate in it. So you're just going to do a U-turn here, and then go back to your aisle. So it might be a little bit awkward, but we're going to see how it goes tonight, see how it flows. If it doesn't flow, just let us know, and we'll do something different next week. Also want to let you know, Ashley, we won't do anything different next week because I'm on vacation, and I've been shared that if I'm on vacation, please don't have Wednesday services. So because the cat's going to be away next week, folks, so I expect you all to play. If you want to, Sunday morning, we'll still have the Sunday morning service. Pastor Al Ryder will be here. Or if you want to stay at home, we'll have the live stream or recording later on during the day. So invite you to worship still with our congregation in many and various ways. You might also see in the emails that there's going to be a worship open house, a worship open forum, I should say. And so that's going to be a chance because what happened, to give you the timeline, September 2019, I show up. And I'm getting to learn the congregation a bit of how the congregation was doing things and your passions and how really what makes us all tick. And then March 2020 happened, and so we had to adapt everything to live with the reality of COVID. And now that we're back to pretty much a regular like post-COVID format, I still don't know your story in that way, what makes things tick. And so the opportunity is going to be, especially on Sunday morning, for an open house to share what do you like? Some people love Gregorian chant. Some people love country music. Well, if we both have passionate for those kind of experiences and we're in the same service, how can we incorporate all of those elements as part of who we are as a worshiping body? So that's going to be happening the first Sunday in February, and that's going to be a service at 10 o'clock, open forum at 11. And then I also like, if you want to come there, that would be fantastic, because I would love to hear opinions as well for Wednesday. Or if you can't be here Sunday morning and you want to talk to me about it, feel free to let me know. I'd be happy to have a conversation with you. So, but the open house will be at 11 o'clock, open forum 11 o'clock, and then we're going to all have lunch together at noon in the fellowship hall. Because sometimes people just need to realize we can disagree and we can still have table fellowship afterwards and talk and be part of the same congregation. So that's the format coming up. You might see words about that, a worship open forum. That's what it is. Is there anything else for the good of us all tonight? Or Marilyn, did I forget anything? Oh, the last hymn. Because anybody who's seen me dance knows it's a one-time experience, and you might be in traction afterwards as I inadvertently, not deliberately, body slam you into the wall. I love hockey too much, apparently. So we are going to be doing, we are marching in the light of God, and then we're going to bypass dancing, and we're going to go thanks to singing and praying. So 1, 3, and 4, not 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you start singing and dancing, that's fine. We'll just leave your friends behind if you know the safety dance. With all that being said, thank you for the peanut gallery laughter over there. Your groans are my joy and my nectar. With all that being said, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you.
Lord is my light and my salvation. Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. In the day of trouble, he will hide me. He will keep me safe. He will guide me through. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. In the darkest hour, he will keep me. Evil has no power when he shelters me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is my light. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light.
Our opening hymn is number 819. Come all ye people.
Come and praise the Most High. Come all you people, come and praise the Most High. Come all you people, come and praise the Most High. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise the Savior. Come all you people, come and praise the Savior. Come all you people, come and praise the Savior. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise the Spirit. Come all you people, come and praise the Spirit. Come all you people, come and praise the Spirit. Come now and worship the Lord.
Next is number 315. How good, Lord, to be here.
Yeah. may not remain. But since you bid us leave the mount, come with us to the plain.
Next is number 565, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who makes all things new, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin. Holy One, source of our renewal, we confess that we are wrapped up in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have not practiced your righteousness. Our hearts have turned away from you. For the sake of the world you so love, forgive us so that we may be reconciled to one another for the glory of your holy name. Amen. Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, bless this night of worship. And bless the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came into the world to show us your way. Help us to repent, for your kingdom has come near. Remind us of that moment every day of our lives, that we might better serve you, both now and forever. Amen.
Please rise for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home at Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace this night from our Lord Jesus Christ, his Heavenly Father, and their blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. My sermon title for tonight is Jesus Exposes the Lie. And it might be kind of strong words, but I think at the core of what Jesus did with his ministry of proclaiming the gospel was he did exactly that. Question for this. How many of you have caught yourselves in some kind of situation and you felt there's no escape from it? It could be a marriage or a relationship that's not bringing joy. It could be abuse. It could be just, I'm not finding satisfaction with my job. Or it could be what we're seeing on the news. Like, will the Democrats and Republicans ever get along and get this country back to working together somehow, showing statesmanship or statespersonship and compromise, as opposed to it's my way or no way? I see all that, and that can be pretty. That can induce a lot of bitterness, or at least a lot of pessimism. And then someone comes in and says, I want to do something different. And going, well, that's just the same old, same old. We keep hearing the word change, but does it ever really actually happen? Or sometimes, in the privacy of your own thoughts at home, and you're faced with that bottle, or you're faced with whatever the temptation might be in your life, and you're realizing, I'm in bondage to sin, I cannot free myself. And then there's, or perhaps you are a victim or you have caught in circumstances of other people's expectations. I remember when I was younger, and I would always compare myself to my dad because everyone compared me to my dad. You have your dad's sense of humor. You look just like your dad. Oh, you do church stuff, yada, yada, yada. And so here in my mind, and I excel at putting unnecessary pressure upon myself, unrealistic expectations upon myself. And so I compared myself to my dad. And when I was 25 years old, and I was a camp counselor, year-round staff, working at Lutheran Memorial Camp. And I'm going, my dad already had his master's. He already had the job from which he would retire years later. He was married, and his wife was pregnant with this fool right here. And here I am, sitting on concrete floors, singing Kumbaya once every 2 weeks, and going insane because this is my confession to you, Todd and Ann, please don't ever do this song when you're leading worship. Marilyn, I can't tell you no. Kumbaya. That is on my list of songs. Or if I hear it, I start getting that twitch and that tick, and I have to start thinking rampage thoughts and just kind of go back to my Zen moment of serenity. Because when you sung that song 400 times, and it just gets on your nerves. And I think every musician, every pastor has their one song or two songs. Another one for me is, that's not the topic of sermon, so I'm not going to tell you any more about that. AKA, I'm not giving you more ammunition for practical jokes. You'll have to earn it more than that. But we have these things in our lives. So here I am sitting on the concrete floor at Cedar Lodge at LMC going, is this, I'm supposed to be doing something else right now. I'm supposed to be 3 years into another kind of degree, maybe getting my master's or my PhD or my MD or my JD. I'm not supposed to be sitting here right now developing calluses on my backside, you know, with kids who are just there for church camp. And so I was miserable. And I felt like there was no out. Why? Because I was believing the lie of other people's expectations of me. I was believing the lie of a chicken in every pot, a car in every garage. And that's how life was supposed to be. You went to college. You found your significant other. You then dated that person. And then you got married. You had kids. You had your one job. You retired. You were surrounded by grandkids. And then you died. But that's not how life works. And it took me a long time to realize that. And it took me a long time and a lot of conversations with Jesus to say, Jesus, I'm not who I'm supposed to be. And the only kept saying to me, you're right. You're right. This image society has of you is not who you are. The image of society and expectations have, the lies in which we tell ourselves and which we try to live into to try to meet other people's expectations or unrealistic expectations of people who have some aspects of our character, such as who we aren't. You know, and when we put all that truth in those lies or put our faith in those lies, we become miserable. Another example, I dated a girl in college. She was fantastic. She was a very lovely person. She was from Newark, was a Newark Catholic. And she was a very fine person. She tried to have me be this Victorian gentleman dressed in white, shining armor and never telling a dirty joke or having an impure thought, that kind of stuff. And that's just not who I am. I tell jokes about Monty Python. I appreciate Bert Kreischer and his humor. I appreciate other things in life. And she kept trying to fit me into this mold of what she wanted, but that's fine, that's what she wanted. But that's not who I am. You see the difference? And so I kept trying to live into that false narrative, that lie, where if I supposedly was a good person, if I supposedly was a good boyfriend to her, I should be able to make those changes to become something that I'm not, because what I am currently is not good enough. And by living our lives like that. And in Jesus' day, it wasn't just those societal expectations and cultural expectations. It was also, we had the law. But also on top of that, there was the law that humanity created to keep the law safe. For example, how many of you have ever attended an OSU football game in the horseshoe? Or how many of you attended a Browns game at First Energy Stadium? You're there for what? To cheer your team on, right? That's the core of why you are there. So if I show up wearing maize and blue, yelling, go Buckeyes, if I wear black and gold once a year to Cleveland Stadium going, go Browns, go Dogs, what? Oh, I thought I heard someone say something. I'm not meeting the expectations. I'm there to cheer the Browns. I'm there to cheer the Buckeyes. It doesn't matter what colors I'm wearing. But how fandom has created it, you have to wear scarlet and gray. You have to wear brown and orange. And I look ugly in brown and orange. Just letting you all know that. But there's all these other expectations that people put up if you're really a Browns fan, if you're really a Buckeyes fan, or if you really are a good member of society, or this kind of thing, you will join the Kiwanis, you'll become a Rotarian, you'll do X, you'll do Y, you'll do Z. But the last I checked, those are not integral to cheering on my team. And that's why Christ came into the world, because there are all these other rules humanity put around the law. Well, don't work on the Sabbath. Well, what does that mean? And so they parsed it down to the inch, how far a person could walk before breaking that law. And what was supposed to be a gift became an onerous burden. Jesus came to dispel the lies we tell ourselves. The lies that we build, that we put so much faith in. If I can do X, if I can do Y, if I can do Z, then I'll be a good person. Then I'll be happy. Then I'll be whatever. Meanwhile, when we do that if-then, we ignore the gift of the person whom God made in our lives originally.